You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three of the Roto Experts in the Morning, live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy executive Corey Parsons.
Yo.
Tony Cincotta. No Scott Angle, he's sick. Do you like that I did that order differently this time? I don't want to get in trouble.
Learned.
So we got...
One of the ears of my headphone.
What's... It's not working?
One of the ears is working. So
it's probably not, but it's just the wire. Move the wire around.
I don't like this.
I know. It's frustrating.
They're supposed to be sending my beats by Dre.
Really?
To the restaurant.
Will you be bringing them in on a daily basis? Oh, you can.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna bring them when they send them. I think they should have sent my beats by Dre in already. I think Florio got the mail and took them though.
It's probably.
Yeah.
So I have my Bose headphones.
Gave
I keep
to,
saying I'm gonna bring
to
my Bose. I'm gonna bring my Bose. What did you?
He gave them to his girlfriend.
I'm gonna bring my Bose headphones in and just use those instead. Yeah. And then I just haven't.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. What are you gonna do? It's a stupid wire.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's because Scott be twirling the wire
around. Every seat.
Yeah, he just sits in the seat and twirls the wire around, and Scott break the damn thing before. Now, you know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do with it?
That's usually a sign of sexual frustration.
Yeah, it probably is.
I'm not.
Come on. Get in on it.
No. There's a little NFL news before we get to everything else that you wanted to mention, Corey. You brought it to my attention that Jimmy Garoppolo will not be traded this offseason, reports Adam Schefter. Does this surprise you?
Okay, Schefter's reporting it, NFL sources. So
Schefter's reporting it, it's real. I think we could say that.
Okay, but still, is it okay? The report is real. The source is real.
Yep.
Is the news real, or is it fake news?
Fake news.
Is it fake news? You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a good chance this is fake news. This is New England's way of driving the price up a little bit. You know what I mean? Posturing, playing a little bit of chicken. But I'm starting to think buyer beware on Jimmy Garoppolo though. Did I say his name right?
You did. The thing with Jimmy Garoppolo, there's so many terrible quarterbacks in the NFL. And I have no... It's kind of like Brock Osweiler. If you give him an extended period of time, like, we have no idea if he's going to be any good or he's going to stink. So you don't want to give up too much for him. You'll know he'll be a free agent next year. And then you can go give him $72 million. Like, he's going to go make a ton of money. But why wouldn't, Tony, why wouldn't the Patriots just go accept whatever?
Because the NFL, your quarterbacks get hurt all the time. You're
suspended.
Trying to make a run. Yeah, suspended. What the heck? That's the whole thing is you can always have depth, right? Depth is the key. So they're not going to give him away. But if someone gives them a second-round pick, he'd be gone.
Yeah.
So this situation actually reminds me.
So I would say give me Brissett.
I don't want Jacoby Brissett.
How? Why not?
Can't throw. You saw him story. He couldn't throw.
Yeah.
So
through one that. Game, you're gonna make
you
a career assessment.
You can teach that.
You teach throwing?
Yeah, you can.
Why don't you sign Johnny Manziel? He can throw. Teach him how to throw.
Well, you can't teach sobriety. That's the problem. With Johnny
I think you can. I think you can try. That's what people are gonna rehab for. So, all right. So that kind of led me to a different question. We have keeper leagues. We're all playing types of keeper leagues, right?
Yeah.
And you can only keep X amount of players, 2, 3, 4, whatever, a certain amount of prices. So when you get to that number, Tony, you got your four guys, and that's it. If you have another guy that people want, do you just accept anything at that point?
No, you take two guys and trade them for one.
Okay, well, what if that doesn't want it? Like, I bring it up because in my league, we can keep four guys. And maybe I like a couple of my guys, but I realize the position that I'm in with some of these other keepers, I want an amazing starting pitcher. Like, I need to go get one of these top flight guys. Not amazing, but like a guy that, like a John Lester, who's going to go in the second round of my draft. Now, John Lester is not going to be kept by the team that has him. So I made an offer. I'm like, listen, I know you're not keeping him. I'm making your offer. I'm going to give you an extra draft pick for John Lester. Is that cool?
With what round?
Well. So I offered him a 14th round pick.
Come on, Greg.
Why? He's not keeping him.
No, but
you don't want to throw up the balance of the league. You're not going to give him up for a 14th round pick.
So what's fair?
That's ridiculous. a fifth round pick where he'd be drafted.
But so I have to give up. He's going to be drafted in my league in the second round due to keepers. So I have to give up essentially a second and a fifth now for him?
I'm giving you an advantage. If I'm giving it to you in the 14th round, now you don't have to
You're not giving him to me in the 14th round. I have to keep him in the second round, and I have to give you a 14th round. So really, it's a 14th and a second.
Okay.
I don't think
the second's really a fifth.
What do you mean the second's real? Yes, because he's real in real life being taken in the fifth. If it wasn't the keeper that you're saying.
Yeah. So yeah, you can't give a discount just because you're cutting him.
Well, that was my question. Like, should you be giving a discount? Like, go and get an extra pick if you're cutting somebody.
No.
Corey.
Yeah.
You're a me guy. Like, you're looking out for your team, not the balance of the league. This isn't a commissioner thing. This is yourself. You're not keeping said player. John Lester will use. That's fine. You're not going to keep John Lester. You have no need for him.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you? And maybe, like, okay, I offered a 14. You come back with something better. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's
Seth,
what
whatever.
I would do. I would counter it.
And that's fine. But whatever we come to, whatever middle ground you and I come to, shouldn't you accept it? Because it can only help you.
But we have to come to that middle ground first.
Of course.
Yeah.
But we're going to, I assume, come to some middle ground.
Yeah.
But you're helping the other guy out, or you wouldn't have a trade.
Oh, absolutely. But you're helping yourself too.
No,
obviously.
You can't help. That can't. You're actually, if you can't help two people out, you're basically breaking even.
I'm lost there.
If you help another guy out, you're playing against him in a league.
Right.
Why would you help your opponent out?
But because you're helping yourself. A trade's helping both people.
No, you're not, because first of all, you can draft that guy again if you put him back in the draft.
Right, right.
And that guy has a weaker player, obviously. I just made his team better.
That's true, obviously. But if I'm offering a 14th and you're asking for a 5th, that's 19th. So if we settle on a 9th round pick, Corey, would you do that?
John Lester, I'm still going to drive you up a little bit more out of that. I'm like, listen, I can't do it. I'm going to tell you right there, listen, I got a deal on the table right now. 6th round pick on the table right now. You got to come correct if you want John Lester. Do I really have this deal?
Obviously
no, but
not.
I'm gonna make you think I do.
Right. So you're fine with just throwing him back then?
Yeah, I throw him back in the player pool. I'm not fooling with you in the 14th round draft pick. Why are you trying to fleece people, Greg?
I'm trying to make my team better.
It's a balance, though.
I'm trying to make my team better. There's people that are not keeping certain guys. I want to go out and get them. Okay. Man, I make offers. I know you guys aren't big traders.
I'm not.
Yeah, and Tony, you're not either.
No.
I don't know. I like trading. And trading's fun. Like, when we do a draft, we do a live draft, the snake draft. There's trades every single year during the draft.
On draft day.
Uh-huh.
That's
one of the biggest benefits of doing a live draft in person. People are sitting around a table or sitting in an apartment or whatever, trading. And usually...
And no girlfriends.
No girlfriends. Usually... what happens is somebody wants to like move up, and like what our like favorite trade in our league is, the favorite design is like, all right, we'll swap this round, we'll swap next round, and then eventually you swap like
who does the accounting and keeps up with all of this player movement?
Google Doc, commish. Well, me.
Your board is going to be
exactly
not looking good.
No, yeah. So basically how the board looks is we have like all these high like every. This is actually very complicated. So every person is like a color, right? So if I'm red, you're blue, Tony's green, right?
Okay.
So if we trade in, if we swap first, second, and fourth round picks, let's say, that spot will be highlighted in my color, so I know I pick there. Too complicated for you?
No, I got what you're saying. I got what you're saying.
You have to think about it, though.
Yeah, I got it. Right. I remember one time we did, back at the mothership, we did a hometown fantasy draft.
Right.
And it was a keeper league.
Cool.
And that's how their league was set up.
Cool.
Weirdest thing I've ever done in my life.
Why?
The draft was in, like, it was in Indiana. It was in Indiana.
I remember that.
But
right.
It wasn't in Indianapolis.
You flew to Indianapolis, though.
Flew to Indianapolis, yeah. Enjoyed myself thoroughly. In the city, in Naptown, in the city of Indianapolis. But the draft was 2 hours away, like in the sticks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I got out the car, it was like, what the hell is going on? You know what I'm saying? Like,
am I allowed to be here?
Yeah. That's how they were looking at me like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? and then shortly after that, you know, the police showed up, whatever. But the funniest part of that trip was... I asked, like, you know, I went to talk to the dude, and he was just looking at me like, this is unbelievable. So I'm like, can I use your restroom? And he was like, and you're like, your bathroom. And he's, so I, you know, he didn't say nothing at first, whatever. So his wife came, you know what I'm saying? Oh, the bathroom. You know what I mean?
Down the hall.
Down the hall. When I went in the house, they had a dog in there. The dog stood up and looked at me like, what the hell is going on here? And the dog literally followed me to the bathroom. And he sat outside the door. You know what I'm saying?
Was he barking or?
No, you know, he was chill. You know what I mean? He was like, but he had his eye on me. You know what I'm saying? So that was very fun. That was a good time right there out there in Indiana.
Not Indianapolis.
We had me, Jeff Mance, and John Hanson had a blast that night.
You know, Tony, everyone says that, not everyone, a lot of players in standard leagues say that the draft is the best part. Like, is their favorite part of the season almost? Like, you said it more ago, Corey. It's draft day. It's your holiday, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not doing trades, you're just sitting there picking players. Don't you kind of?
Not picking players is fine for me.
Picking players is fine. Yep. For you.
Mm-hmm.
I love the trades. I get into it.
Why do you want to trade though? If you have the best team after draft day?
Because you know it's not about winning the draft. Like, for you know, Jake Seeley wins drafts. Does he win leagues?
You're right. Jake Seeley and Scott Engel don't win leagues.
I'm making a joke. But like, even if you win the draft, it obviously doesn't mean anything.
No,
necessarily. You make trades because there's certain players that you want. Like, we talk all the time about tiers. If I realize that, for instance, we're in the third round, and I realize my home run tier, because Tony told me I should be doing it in statistical categories rather than positional categories. My home run tier, there's two guys left. I'm going to desperately try to trade up in that third round and get one of these guys. That's like I'm only trying to do. I'm trying to just fit my tiers and do what you told me to do. Really, I'm trying to like listen to you guys. That's why I'm trading.
But what about guys that trade before the season even starts? That is always baffling to me.
Okay, so that one's baffling to me because like I get trading during the draft if you're going after a certain guy. Like that makes sense to me. But then once you have your team. Once you like you drafted your team, then you might as well wait and see how it works. Like, you know me, obviously. I have an itchy trigger finger. Like, I want to change guys in and out. I don't care. But once I draft, like, I'm not going to make a trade before the season. Like, I don't know if a guy's going to be good yet or not. I have no idea about anything.
Right. I made that mistake one time. I made a trade before the season started.
What was the trade?
Oh, my God. I don't even want to tell you.
You got to tell me.
I traded Plexico Burress for Chris Johnson before the season started.
Is this the year Chris Johnson like ran for 2,000 yards?
And guess what Plexico Burress did?
He shot himself in the leg. She turned around when you said, oh, by the way.
Oh, she did. I wonder if she heard me.
She might have.
That a moan of affection?
It was a moan of affection. It was an affectionate moan.
Yeah, no.
You know, one time they tricked Chris Vaccaro. Chris Vaccaro was talking about one of the young ladies.
Right.
And Nando told him that it was broadcast outside.
that was funny. Son, he was petrified.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it is good stuff.
But yeah, I can't justify trading during that period between the draft and the regular season, you have no idea.
It's a bad idea.
You draft these guys at the end of the draft, and you're like, oh, maybe he'll be good. Maybe he won't be. I don't know. You got to give him time. You got to figure it out. Corey, are you okay?
No, I'm all tangled up.
We can't hear you.
I was all tangled up. Scott, Scott always messing up the damn equipment in the studio.
I feel like you're just blaming this poor guy. He's not even here to defend himself.
I know.
That's why he's blaming him.
Yeah, there you go.
It would turn into a whole segment if he was there.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine him going back and forth with me?
Ruined things like Tony Romo ruined things in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you'd scream, you're a Met fan. The Mets are better than the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need either of them here to have the fight.
No, you don't.
It could just be me and you, Tony, and we could have their fight.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
From a guy that doesn't have cliches.
I know, right?
Oh, it was funny yesterday. He doesn't. The last word is always his. Oh boy, yeah. I like Scott Engel.
Yeah, he's the king.
He is fantasy. Take a break. We're gonna come back. Let's get into the NBA from last night. More Durant's injury. We'll get into the Warriors. What they're gonna do fantasy wise? How do we replace them? DFS stuff, of course, coming your way this hour. Dr. Ray will join us at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. But NBA, we look at last night. Who did well and who did poorly? That's coming your way next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Roto Experts in the Morning. Tony Sincotta, fantasy executive Corey Parson. Greg Sussman, he stepped out. Greg Sussman's pops is made an appearance in the studio, Tony. So I don't know what the, I guess he went out to show. Maybe he went out to introduce him to his friends at the bar that he says his girlfriend know about.
So here's, this is a dude that won't bring his girlfriend to the draft, but it brings his dad to work.
Yeah, his pops came in. I think he's heard his pops say that, I think his pops was coming in town. He was like, he had a couple minutes, so he decided to drop by the studio. So Sussman is with his father right now, Tone. So we're getting ready for Dr. A coming up in about 10 or 12 minutes from now. And Greg Sussman has abandoned his post, Tony.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's weird. Because the last time he did that, it was for like a reality TV show guy.
Oh, remember that? Remember that? That was the Out of Bounds days. So there you go right there. Greg said he was going to talk a little NBA on the other side, so try to stick to that tone. So last night, of course, the big story come out of last night is this injury to Kevin Durant. Still waiting MRI results. I have read where Adrian Wojnarowski said that they believe it is a torn MCL, and I also saw a unconfirmed report where a person believes it was a torn ACL. So I still think we got to wait to see what's going to happen. Not out the woods yet. The Warriors add Matt Barnes to their lineup.
Yeah, Matt Barnes. That's going to be interesting. He's a guy that I think is a great player coming off the bench. Like, you want him as your 6 or 7 guy. He does a lot well. Put him in a game, like 30 minutes a game. I don't know how this is going to work out for the Warriors. I think, obviously, you lose Kevin Durant. You can't replace that. But from a fantasy perspective, if Matt Barnes is on your waiver wire, absolutely go out there and grab him. He could be, because he was cut, you know, last week, and somebody might have cut him off the waiver wire, like Greg Sussman. He's very, you know, he likes to make a lot of moves. He would have cut him.
Yeah, and then now he's grab back him in a good spot. I tell
now
you
he's
what,
starting for Golden State.
How about that? They got some goons on that team with Draymond and Matt Barnes, huh?
Oh, they'll be more kicking in the nuts, right?
Yeah, they'll be more apt to mixing it up this postseason. So that should be a good time. I would like to see a series with them in OKC, especially if Matt Barnes and Draymond Green can stay to get interesting right there, Tone.
Oh, can you imagine, though, if Russell Westbrook was able to take them out now without Kevin Durant? Does it lose the luster without Kevin Durant there?
I still think they would be in pretty good shape, but you know what I mean? I'm not sure if Oklahoma City could actually be the team that would take care of it, but that would be intriguing. A 1-8, no Kevin Durant, and the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Golden State Warriors.
See, if you could look back to last year, right? So basically the team last year was within, you know, a quarter or two of winning the NBA title without Kevin Durant. So they have the same team back, with the exception Harrison Barnes isn't there for that small forward role, and he's ended up being a pretty good player now that we've seen him in Dallas there. And is Matt Barnes that type of player? I don't think so. I think he comes up a little short. At the center position, Zaza Pachulia, I think, is a better center overall than Andrew Bogut was. But Bogut brought a defensive element to the game that they're sorely missing there. But a lot of guys don't big, so it only takes advantage of certain matchups there. I don't think they're quite as good as last year without Durant.
I probably think you're right. As I'm back here after you guys making fun of me. Mainly Tony.
We were telling you can't bring your girlfriend to the draft.
Right.
You can bring your dad to work.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's bring your dad to work,
Dad. Okay?
Let's bring your dad to work, Dad. I wouldn't bring my girlfriend to work.
I never bring my kid to work on Kid to Work Day.
Why?
Well, technically,
wait. Technically, don't you? Because if you work in a home studio, they're there, so you bring them there every day.
Oh, I could. They go to school though, and my kids are pretty. A few things they're disciplined about, like when daddy's doors closed, when daddy's doors closed, never go in.
Yeah.
Never go into that room.
Period.
He's
not doing a show. Don't worry about it. Just don't go.
You got to set rules early on. Greg, did you have any rules in your house that you knew not to break?
Do we have any rules in our house that I knew not to break? Never to lie. That was a big rule.
Yeah.
Never to lie. That was the only rule. That was the only rule.
What about white lies? What about white lies? Like when they asked, did you do your homework? Like, they didn't specifically say what day.
The rule was do not lie. Even white lies. That was the rule. That was the rule.
See that?
Yeah.
Corey, how are you on white lies?
Why are white lies less
offensive?
Offensive, yes.
I agree.
What would be the alternative to a white lie, Tony?
What happened here?
Now, hold on 1 second. McDermott is on the podium.
Yep.
And he said that Carl Darryl Jones is an option for them. He has watched all his practice tape from last year.
He also said just a moment ago, they've not made a decision on Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Another quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, he has new agents. They have said he is opting out of his contract. Colin Kaepernick will be a free agent.
Where is he going? Like, this is the most baffling move to me, the Kaepernick situation. Who is going to sign this guy?
The Steelers.
You think so?
He's a backup quarterback for the Steelers. He could play for the Seahawks.
As a backup we're talking about. Why can't he go to Buffalo? Why can't he go to Buffalo?
I don't think Buffalo would be the right place for him.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All
right. I think he's in a tough spot. People would say, what about the Jets? I don't think New York is for him either.
No.
Especially not the Jets.
Well, that's what kind of makes me interested about Adrian Peterson with the whole Giants rumor, right? Like, they just went through this whole thing with Josh Brown. They're going to get in with Adrian Peterson? Like, that doesn't sound like a
thing
they want to get into.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
60 years ago, everybody hit their kids.
Well, anyway, let's get back to the NBA. I wanted to get off there. We had an OT game last night. The Pistons and the Blazers. Pistons defeated Portland 120-113. A game Portland actually really needed to climb into that race. And if you started John Lohr last night for Detroit in an overtime game, that's a disaster, Tony.
Yeah, that's a big disaster. He's a disaster. Like, there's too many forwards on this team, and I think that if you take the chance, there's going to be nights you get burnt. People always, and that's a question I always get the most. Do you like John Lurie? No, I never liked John Lurie, but people ask.
All the time.
Tobias Harris one night, John Lurie another night. Uh-huh. It just never happens. You can't, it's no consistency there.
One of the reasons we like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope every night, the minutes. 47 minutes last night out of a possible 53. 16 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. You got 10 and 4 from Reggie Jackson. Andre Drummond put up 19 and 15. And then Marcus Morris in a monster game. 37 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. Both he and his brother both win. And Marquise Morris hit some clutch shots last night for Washington against Golden State. You know what he said after the game, Corey?
What's that?
Marquise on his clutch shooting, quote, my wife tells me all the time, I've got big nuts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, good for him.
Yeah.
That's a good comment.
Yeah, sagging.
Portland. Damian Lillard, 34 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, just 1 assist shy of a triple-double. CJ McCollum put up 25. Well, Joseph Nurkic trying to get back into the good graces of the fantasy players. He put up 19 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. Don't.
C.J. McCollum is a guy that's very, very interesting. He got 44 minutes of play. Like, last night we saw a lot of guys get a lot of minutes in this game. The backcourt scoring is there. Nurkic is, of course, coming along. But a lot of people in DFS liked Harkless last night, and I had no idea why.
Yeah, a lot of people liked Harkless. I was trying to figure it out. I didn't get it. It makes sense to me.
No. And I try to talk Frank Stanfield out of Aminu, and I hope he listens.
I hope he listened too. I wound up losing last night. My opponent had Damian Lillard, which I never expected. Jimmy Butler absolutely crushed me last night with the Nuggets defeating Chicago 125-107. You won despite having Butler. Wow, nice.
Well, no. So basically, this is what we said last night. So I like Jimmy Butler the best.
Yep.
And I said, you know what? Russell Westbrook's very good every night. If you make more than one lineup, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't include him in that one. So I had one lineup with Randall and Jimmy and Russell Westbrook.
Gotcha.
And that cash. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hell of a lineup right there. But for Chicago last night, Jimmy Butler, as I said, really disappointing. 8 points and four rebounds, three assists, three steals, 3 of 13 from the field in 35 minutes. I don't know what the hell's going on here with Jimmy Butler.
That was a terrible defensive team, too.
Terrible. It was an amazing matchup. 19 points and six assists for Dwayne Wade. You also got 19 points off the bench for Rajon Rondo, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. And even though you have Jerry and Grant starting, he's only playing 12 minutes. You saw Rondo play 24, Karen Payne of 17. Can we make a pickup here? Can we start Rajon Rondo? What are we thinking of the Bulls backcourt?
Drew Dinkmeyer, actually, give him a little credit. Drew, yesterday before the game, says Rondo's starting to play a little more. I'm liking him in the game tonight, and he came through big time, Rondo. I think you're going to see him back in the graces here. I don't know if all of a sudden the Bulls realize they want to make the playoffs and they're going to put the best players out in the court, but yeah, he's definitely a guy you're going to go pick up right now.
Okay, so Rondo, make sure you go grab him. For the Denver Nuggets, all 5 starters in double digits, including a triple-double from Nikola Jokic. 19 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists, and he's been struggling as of late. Big-time game from him last night.
Yeah, basically I told people to play him last night because he'd been struggling, and his price had dropped significantly. And so you look at it, if he's a good player, they turn around eventually every time, and he put up a monster number. I guess a Bull team that doesn't have a great front court. You got Bobby Portis, Nikolai Mirotic, which was a huge disappointment last night. You could take advantage of that Bulls front court.
Denver also got big games from Wilson Chandler, who put up 20, Gallo at 22, and Gary Harris has been hot. He's playing a lot of minutes, too, 36 minutes. He had 15, while Jameer Nelson had 12. Jamal Murray put up 14, Will Barton 15 and 8 in 29 minutes for him. The OKC Thunder defeated Utah last night, 109-106. The Thunder got 43, 10 and 11, Russell Westbrook, another triple-double there.
Another one,
yes. No Victor Oladipo, so once again, Alex Abrine started. He put up 11 points, which was okay, but nothing else, Tony.
Yeah, no rebounds, no assists, no steals. Yeah, this is coming in. Oladipo should be back in the next game. I think Russell Westbrook is now 11 triple-doubles short of the record for season. I believe 41 is the record. He got 30 last night.
Who holds the record?
16 points for Dougie McDermott off the bench for OKC. 15 from Enes Kanter. Taj Gibson's still not starting. For some reason, Domantas Sabonis still is, but he's only playing 11 minutes, so it doesn't really matter. The Utah Jazz were led by 19 points from Gordon Hayward, 18 and 6 from Rod Hood, 15 and 8 from George Hill, and then Rudy Gobert, 13 and 10 for Utah.
There was no one I really loved in this game. Gordon Hayward, I thought, was a decent play. He didn't come up with a big game, and Rudy Gobert is turning into a guy. He just doesn't get enough shots, so that always worries me, but he's an elite player now.
For the Lakers, they fell to Charlotte last night, 109-104. Hornets were led by 30 from Kemba, but Frank Kaminsky says, I don't want to go back to the bench. 24-12 from Frank Kaminsky, but this is a very obvious matchup for him. 10-5 from MKG. Martin Williams, he was questionable going into the game. He had 16-6. While for the Lakers, you got 23-18 with 6 assists from Julius Randle, who just had a monster game. This is what Luke Walton said was the hardest that Julius Randle played all season long.
I don't get the whole Julius Randle not playing when he doesn't play, because I've watched these games, and every time I watch, he's by far the best player on the court. So I don't get it.
Yeah.
Last night we told people to play him and just hope that he stayed in the lineup. He came through, but how about Brandon Ingram getting 42 minutes and doing nothing? Like, why was he on the court the whole night?
I don't know, but I started in DFS. It was a disaster. He played 42 minutes. I'm like, that's got to be good. 8-5, which is 23 points for D'Angelo Russell, 15 for Nick Young. And there was that rumor earlier in the day that Ivica Zubac is going to get starters minutes. He was going to start at center now.
Yeah.
8 minutes for Zubac, and he got 4 points.
Yeah. I played him in the lineup, too. So the story came out yesterday is they were going to change the rotation off the bench. They're going to get to some of these guys like Zubac more minutes. You did see Claxton get 34 minutes off the bench. Nance got 21, but Zubac wasn't part of that.
Memphis defeated Phoenix 130-112, the highest amount of points Memphis has scored all year. We expected a good game from Mike Conley. We got it, 29-8. Marc Gasol, 28-7-5. Then off the bench, Zach Randolph at 23-8 for Memphis. For Phoenix, 20 points with 8 assists for Eric Bledsoe, 17-6 for TJ Warren. And then Alex Len started and put up 12-5. A bad game there from Devin Booker. Take a break. We'll come back. We got Dr. Ray up next from Inside Injuries. And then 9:45, we'll make DFS lineups and send it in to the OG's Old School Fantasy. Dr. A is up next here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. During football season, each and every Wednesday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, we're able to talk to Dr. A. It's March 1st, getting toward football season, baseball season on the horizon, and of course, big basketball injury news and notes as well, which led us to call Dr. Ray once again and bring him back. So, from Inside Injuries, it's Dr. Ray. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing very well. Good to have you back on the line.
Absolutely. Ready to start baseball season and all the injuries, of course.
Yes, absolutely. All the injuries to come, but, you know, unfortunately, we got to start with a big basketball injury from last night, and that was Kevin Durant. Yeah. Kevin Durant hurt his knee when Zaza Pachulia fell on it awkwardly, gingerly walked to the locker room. Rumors this morning of a torn MCL, perhaps a torn ACL. What did you see? What did you think? What are you hearing?
All right. So whenever you have anytime you have a hyperextended knee like that, the first ligament that's always in the danger zone is the ACL. If there's any type of rotation with it, there's an MCL injury in addition to the ACL. Now, having a huge guy like Pachulia fall on your knee like that, he was able to get his knee out of the way pretty quickly. So, he probably put some stress on the ACL. I would say that it's at least a sprain potentially, but, it all depends upon how strong his ACL is. You know, that's hereditary, basically. It's genetic. So, but don't be surprised if, you do hear about an ACL tear. Unfortunately, I do think that it's likely at least a sprain, and if not, a possible tear.
It's pretty sad stuff, right?
Yeah, it's not good,
Doc. If he escapes the ACL tear and it is the MCL version of the injury, can you give us a? I know you're not, working on the player. Haven't seen an MRI or the stuff,
yeah,
or any of his medical stuff. Can you give us a guesstimate of a projected return if it is the MCL?
If the MCL is torn, then it's a season ender and you have to look at next season just like the ACL. If it's a sprain, if it's a grade one or a grade two sprain without any type of tear, we're looking at probably a 2 to 4 week type of recovery. If it's a grade two, then it's probably 4 weeks minimum. If it's a grade three, which means that there's a partial tear of the MCL, that puts them in the 8-10 week category. So, if he does just have a solitary MCL injury, then, it's good news for him that if it's not torn, anything associated with the ACL, even if it's a sprain, it's going to require a longer healing time.
Thank you, Dr. A.
Yeah, that was big. Let's get into some baseball here now. Let's get into some of the baseball injuries that we had lined up before Kevin Durant went and hurt himself. I guess that was a
pretty
right. Hurt him. Yeah, yeah. Albert Pujols making his way back from that foot injury. And this is a guy year after year, he puts up the same numbers. And he's very, very consistent and reliable. But the foot injury has some people scared off of Albert Pujols. How quickly do we expect him to be 100%? And, will the surgery that he had this past offseason, will that make him, be able to prolong his health a little bit longer?
Yeah, so the release of the right plantar fascia, he's been battling plantar fasciitis,
forever.
For a long period of time. Yeah, and so this type of surgery actually has very good results in general in medicine. And so he should recover from this pretty well. The good news is that, he is obviously scheduled to be the DH, so he's not going to be doing a ton of fielding. His lateral movement is going to be compromised. And, if he does play the field, you know, this thing could sort of flare up again. So, you know, the biggest thing here is that he's DHing. It shouldn't affect his batter power. It shouldn't affect too much, you know, at the plate. If he does play the field, if he does re-injure it, it'll be moving in a lateral movement. The only other injury that could possibly happen with him from a plantar fascia standpoint is that, you know, he's up at the plate and he takes a big swing and he hits like a slow ground ball and he's trying to beat out a throw, you know, to first base. I don't expect him to try to beat out anything, you know, to tell you the truth. If he does try to do that, you know, that's the other way he could possibly injure himself. So as a DH, this type of injury, he's had a good surgery, good recovery. You know, it shouldn't impact his batting ability that much.
See, so Doc, see, I tried to play doctor in here with these dudes the other day, right? And we were talking about Albert Pujols, and my thought process was, as far as him DHing, when he's in the batter's box, and he's putting weight on that back foot, that could be something that could actually hinder him throughout the course of the season. But you don't think that's an issue, you know, putting weight on the back foot and stuff like that, swinging the bat, you know, you think he's good with that, just running out to first base is the only thing he can get hurt doing.
Yeah, that or the lateral movement. See, the plantar fascia, if you know, it's like this chronic, repetitive type of motion that injures it, right? And so, like, so if he's playing the field extensively, you know, and he's moving side to side and he's running a lot, that's where it's going to flare up. Being stationary at the plate, it shouldn't flare up in that sense, basically.
Dr. A, when guys get hurt, sometimes I get excited about it because when we haven't had the draft, it sneaks them down a little bit. And one of those guys I'm looking at is a Washington Nationals starter, Max Scherzer. He has an injury that he had last year and he pitched through. I'm not concerned about it. Should I be?
Well, I do think you should, and there's only one reason, actually two reasons why. The fact that he still has pain at the base of the right ring finger, when this happened and he was supposed to have been healed, anytime you have a pain and a stress fracture, there's an indication that it's not completely healed yet. And so, you know, he's having to change his pitching mechanics and put two, you know, instead of, you know, three fingers or four fingers in the ball, he's getting pain from the two-finger fastball. So, you know, it's, you know, the fact that he still has pain is a concern, and it will impact him. See, for pitchers, anything of the slightest pain, you know, if they experience pain during their pitching motion, it's not just the loss of velocity or it's the fact that mentally it's in their brain. And, you know, pitching is a very psychological mental game as well. And so that will significantly impact him. And, you know, in order to have more fingers on the ball and to be able to throw with that torque, the breaking pitch is really going to affect the fact that his fourth digit is still in some pain. So, unfortunately, I do think this is going to affect him quite significantly unless he can give time, more time to have it heal. You know how he's a workhorse, right? So he doesn't, like, you know, I think he pitched an ungodly amount of innings last year. And so, you know, he's the kind of guy that kind of plays through a lot of pain. But unfortunately, when it's having to do with the throwing hand of a pitcher, you have to give enough time for it to heal and not sort of play through it. And unfortunately, it'll affect his breaking pitch, I think, and mentally, I think it'll affect him. And so it'll be interesting to see if those two things really impact him.
Hey, Doc, let me ask you right quick. You said his fourth digit. Is that counting from the thumb to the pinky or from the pinky to the thumb?
It's counting from the thumb over to the pinky, okay. So it's the ring finger, basically.
Right. Okay, yeah. That's layman's term, I.
Talking to Dr. A, inside injuries. And speaking of pitchers, one of the, not the new rage, but like we've seen a lot of guys over the last year or two go out with this thoracic outlet syndrome. And Matt Harvey being the most prominent one last year, you know, he lost a rib, as Corey Parson likes to continue to bring up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Is he just going to show up in day one and be Matt Harvey again here?
So, you know, thoracic outlet syndrome, you know, obviously all of these nerves and vessels and everything get compressed because of, like, sort of chronic inflammation. And so they had to release that area by removing the first rib, a portion of the first rib, because that's what's part of it. And so even though the surgery relieves pain, and that's fine, The problem is that the original source of the injury, of him creating all of that inflammation on his pitching mechanics, will not go away. It'll be the same thing. And from a medical standpoint, thoracic outlet syndrome is a highly recurrent type of injury. And so, you know, our algorithms are just not that high on Matt Harvey this year. You know, because he's going, his pitching mechanics are probably going to be altered. And if he has one more sort of setback and he's experiencing the same pain, then it's really going to affect his ability to pitch. And so he's sort of at a, I haven't sort of published it yet, but he's around a 24 to 26% injury risk. And that's 1.25. And so that's pretty high. Our algorithms are just saying that he's just not going to have the seasons of past that he's had in this next season. And if you look at his, his sort of file, 2014, he missed all of that because of Tommy John surgery. He didn't really pitch well before this diagnosis in July of 16. And so, he's sort of now, with his throwing extremity, have multiple types of recurrent injuries. And that's just a bad sign.
Hey, Doc, I got two for you right quick. I don't want to take up all the time. But, okay, so Josh Donaldson, he got the calf injury, but he took batting practice yesterday, said he feels pretty good. Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, so Josh Donaldson, what we're seeing, it's only a grade one calf strain, so there's no tear, there's no significant inflammation. The MRI confirmed that, so he's not been highly injured in the past, and so the recovery time is about 2 weeks, and he's probably, he's kind of hitting his optimal recovery time. We don't think this will impact him significantly, especially he's not an outfielder, right? If he had to run a significant amount of territory, then that's different. A third baseman really is sort of, stuck to sort of his area. So the algorithms are saying that he should be good to go to start the regular season.
And Tony Romo, he has a bad back. So let's just say, this is, me not being a medical professional. I know when my back, when it's cold outside, it hurts a little bit more. So let's just say he goes to Denver. Do you think his back is going to be able to take that cold weather out there?
So you're right. You're not a doctor, but you could play one on TV for sure, because you're absolutely right. The cold weather, it causes muscles and the paraspinal muscles to be stiffer. They have to do extra treatment. They have to be really attentive to that. But, Tony Romo's, problem is not, so much the paraspinal muscles. It's really, he's had devastating spinal injuries, basically, and that, whether it's hot or cold or whatever, that won't really affect, that type of previous injury. The problem is that, he's had multiple back issues. He's had fractures in his back. And so it's really about how he plays and the type of hits that he takes. And so the cold or hot weather won't really have anything to do with that, except if it's a muscle type of stiffness.
There you go. Dr. A, Inside Injuries, we certainly appreciate the time. And we will talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, and we're launching next Monday. We're launching our whole MLB section of our app. So everyone go download it.
There you go. Go download it. Inside Injuries. There you go. Dr. Ray, we'll talk to you again next Wednesday. Bye-bye, Doc.
Yep, thanks, guys.
We'll be back. We'll make a DFS lineup on the other side of the break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The latest, Kevin Durant, Jeff Goodman just tweeted that the injury to KD, while it looked terrible, is not expected to keep him out for the playoffs. So that could be good, Tony.
So basically they ride out the season, then we'll see in the playoff time.
Yep.
And this is good. Now we don't have to sit out, Kevin Durant. We don't have to rest him. He'll get there.
Yeah.
I just wonder, though, if he's going to be 100% by then, or 80% or 90%. That's going to be the difference whether this team makes a run and can win a title again.
I agree. I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say. Let's get into some DFS tonight. Full slate on the board. You got 6, 9, 11 games to choose from. Let's start at the point guard position. Where you headed?
I'm going with Ty Lawson. I'm going to save a little money, $4,200 in a game against Brooklyn. Lawson's been getting plenty of playing time. They play small ball in Sacramento against the Brooklyn Nets, who are the worst team in the league at defending point guards.
I like Ty Lawson. I like Darren Collison for that matter as well. And then if I'm going to go heavy at point guard, I like Kyrie Irving tonight, 9,100 over on FanDuel against Isaiah Thomas, who's the worst defending point guard in the league.
I like both those guys in that contest against each other. If you're going to spend the money, I think those two guys are the way to start.
There you go. At the shooting guard position, I could look at DeMar DeRozan, although his price has certainly increased, at least on FanDuel, $10,200 for DeRozan right now.
Yeah, he's still a good play, but I'm going to now he's close enough that I would just go up to James Harden. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use James Harden, $11,700. I think Matthew Dellavedova tonight, if Chris Middleton's out, he took the point guard responsibilities as Antetokounmpo played in the front court. So if that happens again, Middleton's out, Dellavedova's a guy who could play as well.
I think Middleton's going to play now because not the second day of back-to-back anymore, right? Or have you heard differently?
No, I haven't heard anything differently. Okay. I plan for everything just in case.
Gotcha. It's pretty smart.
The NBA.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I like JJ Redick tonight against James Harden. I think defense wise, Redick will go up against Harden. He'll hit some threes and he'll be good at 4,400 on FanDuel.
Yeah, that's going to be a game with some. I don't mind using Lou Williams in this one off the bench either, if you're going to use a two-guard because of that game with the high total.
That's a good point. At small forward, I think this is the night you go cheap. Like, for instance, I go to Terrence Ross, who's still incredibly cheap over on FanDuel at 4,400, getting 33 minutes a game or something like that in Orlando. So at 4,400 against the Knicks, that's a no-brainer for me. And if you want to stick to cheap at the small forward position, I can't believe I'm ever going to say this. I don't hate Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who's also priced cheaply and has seen about 20 minutes per game, and he's putting up points right now for Brooklyn.
I am going to go cheaper than that, and I am going to use Richard Jefferson tonight. 22 fantasy points in his last game, 18, 17 in the last three, 3,200. He's right over the six times the amount, and Jefferson will be my play.
There you go. At the power forward position, I like Rashawn Holmes, who qualifies as a power forward on FanDuel. Yeah. He's only 4,500. I know it's against Miami, but 4,500, given what Rashawn Holmes has done over the past couple of games, it's a good price.
It's a good price. They slow it down in that game, and I think it'll be one of the low score games. This is where I'm going to pay. I'm going with Blake Griffin against Houston. I think it's a huge matchup.
Yep.
And Blake Griffin should have a double-double easy in this game.
What do you like Willie Cauley-Stein and Dario Saric tonight?
Saric is a good play. The price is a little expensive there. Willie Cauley-Stein. Yes, but you saw last game Kufis gone out. They haven't both played well together yet.
So definitely watch out for that. At the center position, I paid $8,800 on FanDuel because I'm getting Hassan Whiteside in my lineup at the center position going up against Jahlil Okafor.
I'm surprised you're doing that. Why not pay $8,800 for Nikolai Jokic? Back-to-back games?
Yeah, that's what bothered me, the back-to-back games. He's actually he's $9,800 on FanDuel, more. It's 1,000 more than Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. Yeah, see, it's 8,800 on DraftKings.
Yeah, so that makes more sense. Yeah, a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Jokic in this one. I like Kostas Koufos against Brooklyn.
Yep.
3,900. He is, if you want to go cheap there. And Kyle Quinn should get the start. I think Hernan Gomez is going to be out tonight for the Knicks, too. So he's going to be $5,200 on DraftKings.
Yeah, if Hernan Gomez doesn't play, that means O'Quinn's really, I have to think, going to soak up all the minutes he can, right? And he gets this former team.
Yep.
O'Quinn may be the guy I should get in there at center. You're right. Go cheap at the position and go elsewhere. So there you go. Those are our DFS plays of the day. Anybody else, you have a name that you like tonight, Tony?
I think you can go Antetokounmpo again. He's coming off a terrible game, much like Jimmy Butler in his last contest. So he's going to be more aggressive. He's going to be in play there for tonight's action with the Milwaukee Bucks. All the scoring, of course, goes through him. And Kawhi Leonard has a decent matchup. Tyreke Evans is interesting to me because he did nothing last game. Brooklyn's so bad defensively. He did it all in the fourth quarter. I think Evans is like a tournament gamble. I'm not going to use him, but he's got the best matchup on paper.
Would you, if he does play tonight, would you start Chris Middleton? Or are you not there yet?
No. I'm worried.
Okay.
I think the minutes, when he's missing back-to-back games and he hasn't had a big minutes yet, I'm going to stay away. But he can put up a decent game. And if he can start him, I don't think it's a bad move, but I'm not going to start him. I need to see more consistency.
All right, there you go. There you have it. Tony's DFS Plays of the Day coming up next. It's old school fantasy with the OGs. Corey Parson, George Kurtz, of course, Scott Angle out sick for the day, so he's going to miss that. Hey, Corey, on the old school fantasy hour, what do you think? What do we got going on today?
Got a lot coming up today on the program, of course. Got in the NHL trade deadline, so we'll give George Kirsch time to talk about that.
That's
that'll be our annual NHL segment. Also, got some coaches.
Annual as in like once a year?
Annual and once a year. We have coaches and general managers taking the podium right now out there in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine, so got some stuff coming out about that also. And then, of course, we'll invite young Mr. Florio up to join the OGs, and we'll talk about some 2017 bounce-back candidates for fantasy baseball. All of that's coming up in a few short moments.
You certainly don't want to miss that. They'll be followed, of course, by On Target, and then I'll be back at 1 p.m. for the Fantasy Best Friends Forever. But do not set your DFS lineups without listening to Tony Zancata and Benny Ricciardi on the DFS lineup lock that comes your way tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. There's 11 games on the NBA slate. You can't play tonight without listening to DFS Lineup Lock. For Tony Zancata and Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. Old School Fantasy is up next. We will be right back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. So until then, have a wonderful Wednesday afternoon, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.